This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. It is March 23rd, 2018, and we are live. I can't wait to welcome my guests today, but first I want to update you on some important legislation. That's right. If you have been paying attention to this particular bill, which is called SESTA/FOSTA, SESTA/FOSTA, these are bills that were drawn up, and they appear on the surface to be about combating sex trafficking, but actually they harm sex workers. And this bill received enough votes to pass the Senate, so it just needs Trump's signature, and then it will be law. This is really deeply disturbing. I mean, one of the elements of this is that it says if you run a website, if you own, manage, or operate an interactive computer service, and if you do so, if you attempt to do so with the intent to promote or facilitate prostitution, you should be fined and imprisoned for no more than 10 years. Basically, they're trying to shut down all of the online avenues that sex workers use to communicate, whether that means advertise, whether that means post about advice to other people, whether that means posting about violence they've experienced at the hands of clients to warn other sex workers. All of these things, essentially, you can be prosecuted if this, if one of these things shows up on your website and you own that website. And so it's really, really deeply disturbing. I feel like, again, the more we criminalize elements of sex work, the farther underground we send those sex workers. And then that actually exacerbates the risk of violence and victimization for them, including those, of course, who are victims of trafficking. But one of the first things that happened when this passed is that Craigslist shut down its personal ads, its entire personal section. And of course, they're claiming, listen, we know people use that section to hook up, but what if someone uses that section to hook up and there's money exchanged or there's sex for service or money? Then we'll be liable for that and we'll get in trouble. So they've shut down their personals. This is, again, I think, just another example of policing people whose sexuality is on the margins and making it less safe for those folks to actually communicate and use the internet to communicate. So if you know a sex worker in your life, many of them have been hit really hard this week by this news because they were very organized, by the way. And there was a really great campaign to push back against this. And there was a lot of lobbying. And unfortunately, it landed where it landed. So some of my best friends and some of the people I love are sex workers. And I want to say to all of you listening who are sex workers, I'm sorry this happened. I have your back. I love you. You are valued and loved by the community. And this is another example of how Trump is essentially terrorizing us. Well, on that note, let me tell you about today's guest. I actually found out about her because there was an article in the Huffington Post, which picked up quite a bit of steam and then was covered in various other places, including Bitch Magazine and BET Online. And the headline was, "Please meet the dominatrix who requires men who hire her to read Black feminist theory." Well, in my sex nerd kinky brain, that is the ultimate clickbait. That is number one. And now we want to talk to the woman who that story was about. Her name is Mistress Velvet, and she is Chicago's premier African dominatrix and goddess. With more than 4 years of experience, she is well-versed in ethical and inclusive BDSM practice. She offers in-person and online sessions to submissives, kinksters, and the curious. Mistress Velvet specializes in, though is certainly not limited to, race play fantasies that interrogate white supremacist patriarchal structures with an emphasis on radical Black femme healing, reparations, and self-love. Mistress Velvet has a graduate degree in women's and gender studies and African diaspora studies, and has been featured in numerous media outlets, including Huffington Post, Sluttist, BuzzFeed, Paper, and the Season of the Bitch podcast. Please welcome to Sex Out Loud, Mistress Velvet.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Thanks so much for joining me. You've made quite a splash, at least in my circles. You were on my feed. You know, so many different people brought my attention to this article just because all my followers were like, "This is amazing."
I'm just living my truth, honestly.
Yeah, obviously you're living your truth, but damn, can we all get paid to live our truth and also assign reading to people, especially white people? Okay, first of all, how did you decide to become a professional dominant?
That's like the number one question I have. Back in my 2014, it's kind of a long story. Like, my undergraduate degree was in biology, and I was going to go to med school. You know, my parents are immigrants, so I was going to follow this, like, really perfect educational track of they've done so much work to, you know, bring me to the U.S., and I'm going to get a medical degree and make lots of money. But I also ended up taking women's studies classes in college and kind of figured I wasn't really into medicine. I wanted to do something in sociology with gender studies, African studies. And so in 2013, when I was supposed to be applying to programs in medicine, I secretly applied to the master's program that I eventually got into and told myself if I got into it, I wasn't going to turn back. I was going to confess to my family that I didn't want to do medicine. I didn't want to be a doctor. And I got in, much to my family's chagrin. So there was a lot of tension there. And my way to release tension was to kind of, I traveled for a couple months and then came back and was like, I need to do more to release this kind of like pent up angst that I have in my mid-20s of being an immigrant who hasn't followed the trajectory I was supposed to follow. And so I had a friend who was a dom for a couple of years, and she would talk about it every once in a while. And it really just piqued my interest as a budding feminist of like, oh, well, that sounds interesting. I want to, like, maybe hit people, but I think I'd like to really hit white men. And she gave me a little bit of help, a little bit, and then I just took it and ran with it.
That's amazing. That is an amazing story. And to sort of defy these expectations that were put on you, and also to, quite frankly, put your degree to work here, because it seems to me that you have a degree in African studies and women's studies. And so that makes for an amazing dominatrix, as far as I'm concerned. Hey, we've got to take our first commercial break. I can't believe that happened already. So, stay right there, everyone. Listen to our commercials. And when we come back, more with Mistress Velvet. Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the pleasure chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the pleasure chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Bee Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. Bee Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how Bee Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit BeeVibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Mistress Velvet from Chicago, a professional dominant. Now, you said that you would have preferred to beat white men. Are they your primary clients? Do you have a typical client?
Yes, my typical. So it's not necessarily on purpose. I had my own kind of personal preference of like, oh, if I want to beat a man, it's definitely going to be a white man and like subvert white supremacy. But separate from that, most of my clients are white men. Before I was advertising and kind of thought of myself as someone that was really into race play. That happened because it was mostly white men reaching out to me. And most of them, it's like they follow the script. It's like they tell each other that if you want to see Mistress Velvet, you have to say something about being an alpha male in your work life and professional life and wanting to be a beta with me. I think every single one of them says something like that when they reach out.
And one of the things you do specifically is you do race play fantasies. We have talked about that on the show before a couple times, but I'm interested to know how you define race play in the context of BDSM and kink.
Yeah, so it just really involves a lot of fetishizing of myself or our dynamics based on race, and that includes, fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of like the historical baggage and just like the history and legacies of oppression that comes with blackness and its dynamics with whiteness. So a lot of that is focused on when we interact. And I know that race play can take a lot of different forms depending on who is like what race and who has what power. But for me, since I'm usually doming white men, it takes on the form of having power over them because usually black women do not have power and usually white men are more powerful than, well, everyone. So our race play looks like me being powerful and dominant over white men. Usually, like 98% of the time.
And one of the things I read that you said was just allowing them to be submissive doesn't always allow for the more drastic shift in the framework and thinking that I want.
Yes, absolutely.
So how does it go beyond dominance and submission for you?
Yeah, so it was kind of a hard thing for me to realize after a while that them just being submissive to me wasn't actually really doing anything. As I said, drastic, and I think that I realized that it was really complicit in playing with power dynamics, even if there was that reversal. Like, that reversal existed because outside of the dungeon, I was oppressed and they were not. And so that used to just, I would leave the sessions not feeling maybe intellectually or emotionally fulfilled, and realize that I needed to add something more deliberate and intentional to that racial play. Like, people come to me with their racial fantasies, and I realized that I also needed to come into that space with my own racial fantasies, and that would be not only that reversal of power, but like kind of a lasting effect, which means that I need to educate them. They need to be doing things with me and away from me that I thought were useful and maybe have like political motives and stuff like that.
I mean, it's not uncommon for dominance to give submissives homework or assignments or tasks that they have to do in service to their dominant. But the homework you give is kind of heady.
Yeah. You know, I sometimes give homework such as, you're going to go do my groceries, or you're going to take my laundry and do these things with my laundry and bring it back. But then I also am like, you're going to read these things, these books or these texts that I give you, and you're going to write something about it, or maybe make a video talking about all the times that you've been racist. Or I just realized that homework could be anything that I wanted. And, you know, so sometimes I want someone to do my laundry or clean my toilet. Sometimes I want someone to talk to me about Audre Lorde. And once I realized that I could do that, I really just take things and run with it.
And is there anyone who has come to you and you've kind of taken this approach with them and they've been like, oh, wait, no, this wasn't what I was expecting? Or do they all go with it? Oh,
okay. I mean, I can just force everyone to do anything that I want, essentially, you know, within an ethical parameter. But when the first time I had a client do a reading and I realized that I really loved it, I started, every new person that reached out, I was like, domination with me looks like reading all this Black feminist theory. And then people were like, well, actually, I just want to wear panties for an hour. And so I just really had to come to understand, like, I had to decide who I wanted to be doing it with, because it wasn't necessarily fulfilling to be forcing people to read if they weren't really invested in it. Like, I can't force people to be invested in these readings. And then I realized that that wasn't fun. So I would, you know, then there's so many other things that we could be doing. But for those that reach out that maybe talk about racism or talk about their guilt around their whiteness, then I'm like, oh, this would be really fun. You know, like, our dynamic and chemistry around that is there.
Well, that's the other thing I'm wondering, is if people come to you with actually racist tropes and ideas about sort of who you are as a Black woman, as a sexual Black woman, have you been
Absolutely.
Confronted by that? I mean,
yeah, it isn't any more racist than any other space that I find myself in, which is to say that every space that I'm in is essentially racist. But there is definitely a spectrum of the way that people reach out to me or approach to me. You know, when I was doming in North Carolina, I was called the N-word, not because of like necessarily trying to be derogatory, but just that person didn't realize that that would be maybe offensive to me. Or if someone has been like, I've always wanted to serve a colored goddess, to which I'm like, all right, next. And then the other kind of spectrum of racism is they're like, oh, I'm an open-minded, middle-aged white man, and I respect Black women because Black women are beautiful Amazonian gods, and you're from Africa, and it's just like this weird fetish Like, so basically, I am wary of any white man that reaches out to me for these services. My assumption is that all of them are racist in whatever way that that looks like. And so I'm just navigating different kinds of racism, and sometimes they can be more subtle, and sometimes it's very, like, blatant, but they're all not that great.
Well, right. I mean, it's all steeped in white supremacy, and also
right.
And in these sort of fantastical desires, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
someone yeah. would have to kind of, like, make the decision to see a black dom as a white guy. And so I imagine they sort of come with all of these preconceived notions. But also, it just seems like a super radical way to get white people to confront white supremacy and their own internalized racism. Because I think that's kind of one of the, I don't know, one of the things that people talk about, especially white folks who are trying to educate other white folks, is like, how do we get people to see it? How do we get them to understand it? And thus far, I feel like people are quite resistant and defensive to looking at their own racism. But if they yeah. were made to look at their racism, and I put made in quotes, as, you know, they mm-hmm. they came in, consented, but now they're being forced by their mistress mm-hmm. to look at their racism. I just feel like somehow that could really rewire their brain, because you're adding, like, mm-hmm. sex and desire and pleasure and endorphins to the mix. And it seems to me that that's, like, an amazing cocktail of, like, reprogramming the brain.
Yes, yes, I agree completely.
Like, you totally may be onto something, that, like, we can't do it just by having, like, seminars for, like, white right, people for Black right. lives. Like, that's not going to do it. We actually have right. to indoctrinate with a sort of edge to it and a whip, so to speak. And then maybe it'll shift the culture somewhat. So I'm just
and
totally.
And I think that also kind of speaks to the privilege of, like, who can learn what ways that certain people or certain bodies can learn. Okay, because for some of us, we don't have a choice but to learn in the streets, right? Like, so if police have shot a black person, then this little black boy or girl see that, witness that, they're learning right then and there. Or for other people, it might be in those seminars or in certain spaces where conversation's happening. I think that with the privilege of, like, white masculinity, they are kind of completely blinded. And so it's, like, unfortunate in some ways, but not surprising that for a lot of these people, they've gone through half of their life without ever really confronting these things. And the first time that they're truly confronting it is by paying a lot of money for some time with someone that they fetishize, who then is, quote unquote, making them learn it. Like, there's, like, a kind of privilege in the learning that my clients are doing that I don't want to, like, erase when thinking about also how awesome it is. Like, it's like, you know, there's, like, lots of different dynamics to this.
Well, right. And there's also this class dynamic, because there's, like, money and transaction happening, and most people who have this much disposable income are going to be upper middle or upper class. So there's already this kind of, yeah. like, they, you know, they are, or could be the sort of 1% even. Right. So,
right.
Yeah. So it's, like, fascinating also the class implications of it, of who even has kind of access to this kind of, like, teaching or evolution kind of experience for themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Access. That's a good word. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we are going to keep digging into this topic with Mistress Velvet. So don't go anywhere. Hey everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit PleasureChest.com and browse their educators picks section
for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, has all this talk of power and kink and BDSM got you interested, very interested? Well, you should come to an amazing event where I will be next month. It's April 19th to the 22nd, International Ms. Leather and Ms. Bootblack Contest and Celebration. It is the largest annual gathering of leather women and the leather queers and the leather folks and the leather men and the leather people who love them. It's an annual contest, of course, and I am one of the MCs, but there's also workshops, parties, entertainment, social events, shopping, brunch, an amazing pool party where they shut down the pool and we're the only ones in it. So I highly recommend this event. I look forward to it every year. It is one of my absolute favorite events that I go to every single year. It's happening in San Jose, and you can go to imslbb.org to register and find out more. And then much later on in the year, but I do want to tell you about it, November 3rd to the 10th, 2018, is the Swing Set Takes Desire. This will be my second year as special guest of the Swing Set's takeover of the Desire Resort in Cancun, Mexico. It is an amazing group of sex positive, body positive, kink positive folks literally living out their dreams in a paradise. And I had the time of my life. We just did a 2-part show that we aired, which I recorded there. And so I highly recommend it, but it does sell out every year. So you got to get in pretty early. You don't have to pay all of it up front, but you do have to reserve your room. You can go to ssdesire.com. I'm talking today with Mistress Velvet, and we were talking on the break a little bit about styles of domination, and one thing that you revealed to me was that in some cases there are clients who come to you who don't want any sort of pain or impact play. Tell me about that.
I mean, people come with a lot of different kinks and desires and like things that they want to explore. And something that was a learning process for me was that I thought I was going to just be going into this and beating people up. And certainly that happens. But I realized that like domination and submission is like a vast array of different things. So it could be, for some people, they come to my home and they clean my house, or maybe they run errands. For some people, it includes dressing up and, like, maybe more verbal domination. There's also a lot, like, I really, like, think about the amount of psychological domination that I do. And as I was saying over the break, there's, like, a few people were like, I don't even touch them at all, not even, like, touch their shoulder and still dominate them, maybe just verbally. And so I always try to get people to think about domination outside of this glorious, wonderful impact play, because it can be a lot of different things.
One of the things I'm wondering how you negotiate is that when someone comes to see a dom, there is a type of client who not only is there a sort of projection and fantasy of the kind of dominant they want you to be, but I also know that there are clients that can be really demanding. So they're like, oh, mistress, all I want to do is worship you, but I would also like you to dom me in these six ways, in this outfit, in this voice, in this scenario. They can be very specific about they want and need. And so I'm wondering how you deal with that kind of person who feels like they have a good idea of what they want, and that might not gel with what you want.
Yeah. What usually happens is that I let them go, truthfully, because the most important thing for me is that I'm enjoying it and I can't put on a role. Like, I actually recently just got a reservation form for someone, and they have the entire scene written out, exactly what they want, what I'm wearing, what things are said. And then there's like a 10 minutes of like scripted part, and then like 30 minutes where I could freestyle, and then they want it to close in a certain way. And what I'm trying to do right now is figure out if I can place myself in that situation. Does it seem fun? Does it seem like it will be natural? And I feel like if it doesn't feel natural, then I won't really have that much fun. And so I will probably, you know, I could, if I decided I didn't want to do this, I would just decline and be like, I'm not the right dom for you for this. Here's some recommendations of people that I love that might be able to provide this for you. But I am not really here to negotiate too much with people. And so I think a lot of people do know that. Like, you can tell me your interests, overarching things. And of course, I'm going to respect those boundaries. We're going to talk about what ways I can push certain boundaries. And there's just going to be a lot of communication up front. But I embody my own style, and this is something that is cathartic for me. And so if you're not willing to give yourself up to me to let me be who I am as a dominant, then maybe I am not the right person for you. And also, honestly, like, our first play date, like our initial play date, I give that person an option to be like, to reflect afterwards and be like, was I someone that you liked? Did you enjoy our time? And those are questions that I ask myself also, so that we can decide if we want to continue a relationship or not. There's no reason for us to be together if everything isn't there for us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it disrupts that model that of kind of service top, where the top is in service to the bottom, and it's kind of, like you said,
I am not a service top at all.
Yeah, acting out kind of all these different things for them, which is definitely one way and one style, and also is totally valid. But it seems to me like you have a certain strong presence that they have to sort of get with.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't lie.
But I think if you just put yourself out there in that way, then that probably filters out folks who aren't right for you, and you're not right for them anyway.
Yeah, especially after all these years, I've really come to know myself. That's not to say that I'm not still learning, but I know myself to the point that people get a good read and a good idea of who I am. So I think that the people that reach out, they reach out because they like my style, you know, as opposed to earlier on when I was still discovering myself, I would get much more variety of people and have to sift through if this person would be a good fit or not, or if I would be a good fit for them.
And certainly, you know, white men have been seeing black female dominance for quite some time, maybe since the beginning of time. And obviously, like, people have been doing race fantasy play also for quite a long time. But I wonder if this isn't like increasingly popular now in the moment that we're living in, where Black Lives Matter is at the forefront of many conversations in many people's worlds. Like, are you sort of dominatrix for the new order?
I think it's a lot of different things. Like, I think about even maybe just like the 1950s, or if I'm going to go back to like the 1920s, it would be a very different climate, right, to be a Black dom. I already barely feel safe around white men, much less to be with them in private. And so I think there's like kind of these different factors of like, one, the way that our society is progressing, we have a little bit more autonomy to engage in sex work in a way that's like beautiful and freeing and like safe. And then two, certainly, I think that a lot of my clients, actually, in fact, I know that a lot of my clients start thinking about themselves in relationship to Blackness and in relationship to Black women because of maybe racism and racial things are like being more visible for them, or they're thinking about it more. Because I think, again, for like people of color or people in oppressed groups, you're thinking about that oppression all the time. But I think for like my white clients, maybe these conversations of police brutality, maybe these conversations around the presidential election or socialism or whatever, as it relates to race, is making them think about, I'm a white guy that's like, they're saying that I'm privileged. What does this mean? And I like Black women. Where is this coming from? And it's not necessarily, you know, I want to like interrogate that, like, oh, all of our interests and desires are innocent. No, they're coming from a place that's like mirroring, you know, structural things of structure and power. So so much to talk about with slaves all the time.
Absolutely. But that's what they pay you for. Okay, we are going to take another commercial break and hear from my fantastic sponsor, The Pleasure Chest. The Pleasure Chest makes this show possible. And so you should just throw them a little bit of love. When we come back from the break, I will tell you all about the classes that are coming up in their different locations, because they have this amazing pleasure ed program. So stay with us. I'm going to give you announcements at the top and then more with Mistress Velvet. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, like I said before the break, the Pleasure Chest has this fantastic pleasure ed program where they have tons and tons of classes and they're all free. They are usually all from 8 to 10 p.m. And let me tell you what's coming up in the near future. In New York City, March 28th, head of the class, Blowjobs 201. March 29th, The Art of Bottoming, which is at 7 p.m., by the way, not 8 p.m. In Chicago, March 25th, Kinky and Creative Blowjobs with Ren. March 28th, Advanced G-Spotting, Squirt Shop. And March 29th, The Sexual Menu with Davia Frost. In Los Angeles, April 4th, Advanced G-Spotting. You can go to thepleasurechest.com and click on events to find out about these events and more. While you're there, you can do a little bit of shopping. If you use the coupon code Tristan at checkout, you're going to get a free gift. So I'm back talking with Mistress Velvet in what has to be one of my favorite conversations, at least of let's just say the last 6 months. Okay. Because I have some great conversations, but this one's a really good one. Okay. So it strikes me that part of what is getting played out here, you know, is about these taboos of race and desire. And I'm wondering if you've ever been presented with a fantasy or you've been in the middle of a scene and someone said something to you. Are there any places that you've come up against that you're like, whoa, that's too much for me? Or any lines that you have in your mind, like back of your head, like you won't cross?
I think the thing that... Yeah, that's a hard question. I have had clients, and I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, who slip up and use the N-word. And that really is very jarring and makes me become very present of, like, where am I right now? What situation am I in? Why is this word being used with someone that I'm not feeling comfortable that they should be using that word with me? And then I'm very, like, when I'm doming, I get into, like, my headspace, right, of, like, I'm in control and I'm in this, like, fantasy just as my client is. And so if they, like, I'll say it's a slip-up, to be nice. If they slip up and, like, say the N-word to me or whatever, then I am very sharply reminded that everything that is happening is under and with. I took a break for 2 to 3 months. Because it really was just like kind of got me to my core.
I think we, like, lost we lost you on the audio. And so I miss a whole piece of that. First, it's okay. So that if someone slips up, you'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But then you told another story and that we didn't get.
Oh, just the last time that it happened was over a year ago, I believe. And I like took a break from doming for about 2 to 3 months because it really kind of cut deep. And I think it really, like, made me think about, like, I like to think about that the work that I'm doing has these political motives and is breaking down stereotypes and white supremacy. And when someone used the N-word, called me the N-word during a session, I was like, oh, actually, no, it's not. At least that's how I felt leaving that space.
Well, it must have been really triggering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And they just, like... You know, the thing, their reasoning behind it was just like, oh, they just didn't know that it would be bad.
Because so, they live under a rock? What? Okay.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just a big reminder of, like, you know, like the racism that these white men are steeped in. Like, you can be a very well-educated person and be completely oblivious or unaware. I don't want to give them lots of credit, but I will say that I don't believe that it was genuinely not malicious. They were very surprised when I stopped the scene. And I've been called the N-word, like, maliciously, so I could tell that their intention was not to hurt me. I could also see the confusion in their eyes of like, uh-oh, I have done something to upset my mistress, and I'm not quite sure what it is. And then once I told them what it is, they were like, oh, I'm sorry. But I let them go, and I told other Black Doms, and I don't know what's happened to them since then.
Wow. I
threw them away.
You threw them away, which is also a kind of a role reversal, like how... Mm-hmm. Black women are treated as disposable in our culture, and this rich white guy, you were like, I'm done with you. So it also has has a subversion there, a message. Yeah. I also read in the article that you describe some of your scenes as a form of reparations. Now, we live with the history of slavery in American culture. And there's always been talk since before the civil rights movement of reparations. But tell me why this is like a form of reparations for you.
So there has to be actual reparations paid to Black people, Indigenous people by the U.S. and other Western countries. And that's going to look like money and land and other things that they can't give us, like emotional welfare and things that are us mentee. But that's not happening anytime soon because capitalism is still around. So I look for ways that I can find reparations in my day-to-day. And so kind of the overarching fantasy that I have with my slaves, clients who are white men, is that their time, their labor, their money, as it relates to me, is reparations, because I think of them as part of the system of white supremacy, capitalist imperialism. And so maybe the U.S. isn't paying me back money for what they did to my country in Ghana, but I am picking individual white men from the system of capitalism and using them and getting their money and getting their time in ways that I want. And so that feels like an aspect of reparations as I wait for the much larger systemic payment of reparations.
So it's a kind of emotional. It's like an emotional reparation. Yeah. Well, and
yeah, there's different forms of reparation.
Right. I think. And it's like happening on a micro kind of one-to-one level.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm curious about whether people of color come to see you and also want to do some form of race play.
So I don't get a lot of people of color, but I have had some people of color, a few Black men, and one man who was South Asian. And, you know, they probably know about what I do, and that ends up not being part of our dynamic, you know, because my race play is kind of contingent on them being a white man. But my last Black male slave, he loved. He said to me in the dungeon on his knees, he was like, can I say something, mistress? Or he said, permission to speak, mistress? I'm like, sure. And he was like, I bet the white men go crazy for you. And I just like busted out laughing and was like, you know what? They do. And so we end up kind of relating on like maybe the way that we experience racism is different, but we relate on like the way that white supremacy impacts us. And the South Asian man was, his partner was a white woman, and so sometimes he wanted to talk about those things. So there is, like, at the very least, kind of an awareness of racism and racial dynamics, but it just depends on what race that person is, like how it's addressed or talked about or interacted with.
And you said that you did this for a while in North Carolina. I'm wondering if there's also a sort of geographic component. You're based in Chicago. Maybe you travel, but you're based in Chicago, which is one of the most segregated and violent cities in America right now. Living under the prison industrial complex, it's sort of like the poster child for the prison industrial complex, if you ask me. And I have good friends who work on all sides of law enforcement in Chicago. So I'm also talking as someone who's heard stories of real stories about real people. So I'm wondering if this feels different if you did it in Vegas or if you did it in New Hampshire versus Chicago.
Well, there's an intimacy that comes when you do it in the place that you live. So that I had like a much more intimate feeling of being a Dom when I was a North Carolina-based Dom, and now that I'm a Chicago-based Dom. When I travel, I feel very detached. I don't know the area that well. I'm not representing Las Vegas, even though I was just there last week when I'm Domming there, for example. And so there has been it's a little different, Domming in North Carolina. The kind of fantasies that people had maybe had a more Southern flair.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that is, I can imagine.
Yeah. but I will say something that is similar is, so in North Carolina, when people, white slaves like me because they think they read me as educated, and which translates into me being, quote unquote, maybe better than other black people, right? So they often come to me and say like, oh, I liked you because you're not ghetto. And so in North Carolina, how that would be framed was like, oh, I like you because you're not like a hick black person in a trailer park in the rural parts of North Carolina. And in Chicago, when people say to me, I like you because you're not ghetto, what they are saying is I'm not like a South Side ghetto black person. And so that was a really interesting thing to learn. Because I was like, I came here and was like, wow, this place is really segregated and coming from the South and also from Africa. And I just had to learn what the racism looked like in Chicago.
God, I mean, I don't even know how you push back against that sort of classism, and there's misogyny there and there's respectability politics.
It's a lot. And honestly,
how does that even hit land on you?
Self-care. The last time that it happened, my friend even just brought this up to me 2 days ago. The person, I had them on speakerphone. We're doing like our kind of intake. Oh, gosh. I'm doing my intake with my clients. And they said, specifically, I like you because you're not ghetto. And what they don't know is that I immediately, without thinking, started crying. So they couldn't tell. I wasn't sobbing that they could hear it. But my friend is watching me. You know, we're laughing at this person. And then they say that I start crying and my friend's eyes go big. And when I hung up, I was just like, after all these years and after a life of living under racism and patriarchy, it still impacts me. Like, it still gets to me. And so I have to constantly find ways to take care of myself.
Yeah. It's back to self-care. Well, we're out of time, but this has been, I could talk to you for hours. This has been an amazing conversation. I want to tell people how they can find you, because you know you want to, people. You can find Mistress Velvet at miss-velvet.com. And on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, she is at Miss V Chicago. Thanks so much for being on the show. I also want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set and from Chicago. A-Rod, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, you can get me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Tristan Terramino. And you can catch up with the show on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. Until then, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Terramino on Voice America Variety.